I'll be reading Luke chapter 14, verses 15 through 24. Luke 14, verses 15 through 24. When one of those who reclined at the table with him heard these things, he said to him, "Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." But he said to him, "A man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those that had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I've bought a field, and I must go out and see it. Please have me excused.' And another said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to examine them. Please have me excused.' And another said, 'I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come.' So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, 'Go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city and bring in the poor and crippled and blind and lame.' And the servant said, 'Sir, what you commanded has been done, and still there is room.' And the master said to the servant, 'Go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste my banquet.'"
Good morning. Very good to be together this morning. Good to have guests with us this morning. We're glad that you're here in our assembly. Hope that you'll come back and be with us again. And we certainly will invite you to be a part of this body and this family of Christians and to become a New Testament Christian. That's what we try to do here at the Dean Road Church of Christ, to simply be a New Testament church, a biblical church following the Scriptures. This morning, Brother Gene has read for us an excellent parable, one that's very convicting. We think about a lot of people and the things that they say today. A lot of individuals make excuses about their spiritual life. "I can't do it. I've got other things going on. I've got something I've invested in. I just bought something. My business is running now. I've got to go and check out and make sure that it is running. My family is very important to me, and the only time I have is on Sunday morning," or whenever it is that a lot of people will say and compromise for not giving everything to Christ. And as we look at that parable there in Luke chapter 14, it is very convicting to us. This morning, I want to look at the subject of being a disciple of Christ and what it takes. What's it take to be a disciple, and what does it mean to be a disciple? Before we get into that, I think we've seen a part of what it means to be a disciple. Sometime in your life, you've all probably had somebody who's taught you and you've looked up to them. Might have been a Bible class teacher, might have been somebody in school who taught you. You probably think of him right now. I remember my high school football coach, and I remember the things that he said to me, some of the things that were encouraging or discouraging. I might think about a specific teacher. I might think of an employer who encouraged me and helped me to grow a lot, and other people might come to your mind, people that you modeled your life after when you saw their example. And as Christians, we're here this morning because we admire and we love Jesus. And Jesus says, "Come after me and follow me and become like me and follow my example." And that's what we're here this morning, to look to Christ as that ultimate encourager, the one that who is in our advocate beside us, the one who is our Savior, and the great model for how we should live and pattern our life. The song we just sang, again, was demonstrating that we look at Christ for that pattern. We look to Christ for that example. So you think about those leaders. And maybe you think about leaders in the church. Maybe it's a deacon. Maybe it's an elder, a preacher, a Bible class teacher. Someone along the way who has guided you and is an example to you, who reflected and glorified Jesus Christ in his life. And as we think about that relationship, my point is this. When you follow after somebody like that, you are acting as a disciple. When you are going after their example and their teaching and their pattern, you are acting as a disciple. And we're going to look at that a little bit further. Here, Jesus gives a good definition in Matthew chapter 10 of what it means to be a disciple. What is the meaning of the word? A disciple is someone who is in training, who is learning, who is a student. In fact, when you have the verb form of disciple in the Bible, matheuo, it means to learn and to train and to follow an example. And so a disciple, he says, is not above his teacher. Christ is implying that if you are a disciple, you have a teacher. He says, nor is a servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher and the servant like his master. And so we got that example right there of what it means, a parallel from disciple to teacher and servant to master. Now we understand what it means to be a disciple. And the question is, this morning, am I really a disciple of Christ? What does it mean? I think a lot of people throw the word Christian around today. If someone says, I believe in Jesus and I love him, they might take on the name Christian. But what it really means to be a Christian in the Bible, it reveals to us, is that the name Christian was applied to those who were followers of Christ. Christian literally means one who is of Christ, who is following after him. And so when I look at my life, can I say that? Can I say that when I get up on Monday morning and I go to work or I go about my activities or go to school, that I am showing that I am a follower of Jesus Christ? Will other people around me be able to see that? That's a big question. So being a disciple means we have a teacher and that we're being taught by them. And as a Christian, when I claim to be a disciple of Christ, it means that Jesus is teaching me. And there's a lot of implications to that. Is Jesus teaching me when I'm not studying, when I'm not reading his word, when I'm not thinking about the things that he taught, when I'm not trying to model his example of living in my life every single day? When I'm not doing that, then no, I'm not following after that example. I'm not acting as a disciple, and therefore I'm not acting as a Christian. And I might claim it, and I might say that I'm following Christ, but unless I'm following that model, I'm not doing that. I see this is part of the dilemma. I see a lot of people that stop following Christ as a disciple. And the reason they do it is because it costs so much. The parable we had read to us in the very beginning demonstrated people make excuses. God, I don't have time. God, I got other work to do. Christ, I can't follow you. I got things I've put money into. I've got family. I've got a spouse. What do you want me to give to you? You know what Christ tells you to be a disciple? You have to take up your cross. In other words, he says, you want to follow me? You want to be a Christian? What it means to be a Christian and disciple of Christ means to give your life. It means to take up the cross. It doesn't mean that you give up your family and your marriage and stop loving and stop being committed. In fact, you're more blessed by it. When you follow Christ's example, you're able to demonstrate the love of God and Jesus in your life to those who are around you. Christ and God only makes family better, only makes your work life better because you're working for him. According to Colossians 3, he says, all that we do in service to God, not just as men pleasers and doing eye service before our employers. We realize that when we wake up and when we go to work, the service we're doing is in service to God. You can read that in Colossians 3, verse 17 and verse 21. So when you wake up and you think, well, I'm just going about my work just to put money on the table, you're serving God by your example, what you're doing every day, what you're about. And you need to be showing it and as an example and doing it as an example of Christ. But the reason a lot of people struggle today and we don't see them in the churches and churches are emptying out throughout our country is because people, they'll say, I believe in Jesus and I believe in God, but they quit being disciples, which ultimately means they quit being Christians. They can claim it all they want. And today, if you were to say, well, if you're not a part of an assembly, if you're not studying, if you're not living the life, if you're acting as a hypocrite, claiming you believe in God, but you're living another way, and if you were today question somebody and say, listen, the way you're living demonstrates you're not a Christian, people get suddenly offended, very offended, especially in the realm of politics. You can't say that. You can't do that. It's not politically correct. But the truth is, the Bible tells us that when you stop following Christ every day and you start making excuses, you're no longer living as a disciple and as a Christian. And you might be thinking, I just don't have time. It's Wednesday night. My favorite TV show comes on. It's been a hard week. I've worked hard all day. God knows I don't need to open my Bible today. I don't need to pray to him. I don't need to be as committed as I should be. As a part of our exposition, because Gene's already read it for us, I want you to look here in Luke 14, 15 through 24 and remember those passages. Remember the excuses. And so Jesus is there and someone says to him, how great it would be to be able to eat bread in the kingdom of God. And Christ is essentially saying, yes, it is. But see what people are doing? He says, see what people are doing? You've got a man who says, I bought a field. I want to go see it. I can't come to the banquet. But here's the thing. In the culture back then, when you invited someone to a banquet, it wasn't like you came to them on the very day of it and said, come on. They already knew ahead of time. In that society, they would have already said, I'm going to be there. And then when the servant comes to bring them and says, now is the time, now they're saying, well, I've already got something else planned. But you already knew ahead of time. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine hosting an event, telling and inviting those around you, please come to it? And everybody said, yes, we're going to be there. Yes, I want to be a part of it. Whether it's a birthday party, an anniversary, something, some celebration. And you invite people. And then you come to find out the day of, excuses are made. Said, oh, I can't come. Maybe you've seen this recently in the news. I saw this article of a little boy. I think he was 7 or 8 years old. And it showed him sitting alone. I think it was at Chuck E. Cheese on the table full of plates. But he was all by himself. And everybody was disappointed. And I remember people in the city had come out. Some celebrities and athletes came out to meet with him and to do that party again. But the invitations went out to everybody in his class. And people in his class said, we're going to be there. And nobody showed up. I mean, I want you to think about that and how that feels. Here, likewise, Christ has come. He's saying, come and be a part of my feast and my kingdom, my church, and eternal life to come. But people start making excuses. Excuses, I bought a field. I bought oxen. I've got to go check it out. I got to check out my business. I married a wife. Now, under the law, in Jewish law, when a man married his wife, he got to live a pretty easy first year with her. He didn't have to go to war or anything like that. And here, this man is making an excuse for it. And what we get from this passage in Luke 14 is Christ says, be ready. Be ready to come to the banquet. Be ready to be a part of it. Don't make excuses because of your job or your investment or what's going on in your life or your family. When it's a priority, when you know the importance of it, you will make time for it. And you will make it a part of your life. I'm going to be a disciple. I'm going to follow Christ. You can't simply say, well, I have a life. I don't have time for that. Every one of these excuses, if you're the host, if again, back to that news story with that little boy, there's no excuse you can make that can account for that, of nobody coming to the feast. Whatever we might come up with, it doesn't adequately excuse us from Christ and from Jesus and from God. It never will. So have you ever made an excuse not to be taught by Jesus? Have you ever had an excuse where, Christ, I don't have time to listen to you right now? I want you to listen to this passage, what Jesus says in Matthew 10, 40 to 42. Jesus says, whoever receives me, whoever receives you, he's saying this to his disciples as he's going to send them out preaching. Whoever receives you receives me. Whoever receives me receives him who sent me. In other words, if you're not listening to the apostles and if they don't receive your word and your preaching, those who reject you, the disciples, they're rejecting me, Christ. And that's what Christ would be saying. And Christ then would be saying, and those who reject me are rejecting God the Father. And then he says this, the one who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And the one who receives a righteous person because he is a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones, even a cup of cold water, because he is a disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. I want to emphasize that last verse, verse 42. And so the application is that these disciples, he calls them little children here. And Jesus says, anybody who is a follower of me who gives a cup of cold water. Now in the ancient world, if you were poor, one of the greatest things that you could give to somebody else, and one of the few things that you can give is cold water from a well. You might not be able to give anybody something else, but on a hot day, to a child or somebody in need, someone who's dehydrated, you can just simply give them a cup, some cold water. In fact, in the text, in the Greek, it just says, what is cold or what any kind of liquid? He says, that makes you a disciple. Because what are they doing? They're recognizing where God's words come from. They're recognizing the disciples. They're willing to serve and humble themselves. They're recognizing where God's word his truth comes from, as the apostles and prophets have written, and a record of their teaching is right here that has come from the words in the mouth of Jesus Christ for us to learn and to study and to be committed to. And so if I'm a disciple of Christ, I'm going to be committed to that word. We look a little bit further. Jesus says that. Look here in John 8, 31 to 32. He says, if you're a disciple, this is what it means to be a disciple, to be a Christian. It means that you remain, you abide, you continue in God's word. Here's what Christ taught in John 8, verse 31 and 32. If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. Well, I claim to be a Christian. If you claim to be a Christian, then you must be a disciple. And if you're a disciple, what are you going to do? If you're truly a disciple, you're going to abide, remain, continue in God's word. You're going to study it. You're going to learn it. And it's going to set you free from sin. And that's what Jesus says. He says, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Set you free. I think about our children. I want my children to grow up and be Christians, be disciples. I want every child in this congregation to do that. Most of my prayers at home, I pray to God. I say, bless my children every providential way that they grow up and become faithful Christians. That's what I pray for. Because I know a lot of faithful parents who've raised their children, and half of them will fall away. It feels like it's a lot of times out of my control in the world that we live in. And so you know what I pray about? I pray about my children all the time. I want them to grow up, and I want them to be disciples. And for them to be disciples, they've got to be taught the truth. So I want them to learn it in my house. I want them to hear it being taught from me and my wife. I want it to be taught here when I bring them to Sunday school. And I want our children need to hear that. What a horrible thing it is if we keep our children from learning those things so they can come up and grow up, become a follower of Christ and have eternal life. I want my children to be disciples. When we think about them, it applies to us, our example. What model are we to them? What example, what pattern are we? We also see this, how we become a disciple. Someone says, I'm a Christian, I'm a disciple of Christ. Are you? So you got to abide in his word, but you know what else the scriptures say? The Bible says that to make disciples, he commanded his apostles and those following who hear this, he says, I want you to go, I want you to baptize them, and I want you to teach them to observe all things that I've commanded you. Those three things is how you make a disciple. And we want to continue that. So someone goes and they preach and they proclaim it, whether we heard it from our parents or from a preacher in a certain church, we've heard God's word and we've obeyed it. Make disciples of all the nations, he says, and he says, baptize them in the name of the Father, and Son, and Holy Spirit. You are not a disciple, you're not a Christian yet unless you have been baptized in the name of Christ. And then having been baptized, you don't stop being a Christian. Baptism is not the end of it. You don't say, I've been baptized, all my sins have been washed away, I'm good now, I'm always saved. That's not what the scriptures teach. Scriptures say you can fall away from Christ. You can fall from grace, Galatians 5 and verse 4. And then he says, what do? You continue observing all that has been commanded. You've got to be taught it. That's what Jesus proclaimed right here, Matthew 28, 19 to 20. Very clear. Teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And so we see how disciples are made, what it means to be a disciple. And I told you before, to be a disciple is to be a Christian. In Acts 11 and verse 26, it says in Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians. And we see two other places in Scripture where Christians are referred in that way. Later on in Acts, I think it's King Agrippa says, in such short time, are you going to convince me to become a Christian? Over in 1 Peter, Peter's talking about the persecution that was going on in the church under Nero in the first century. And he says, if you are persecuted and suffer as a Christian, meaning a disciple of Christ. And I think about this. So to be a Christian means to be a disciple. It means that I'm abiding in God's word, that I'm diligent, that I've been baptized, I want to follow Christ and keep all of his commandments. And Christ says this. This is what he says about his disciples. He says his disciples are his true family. In Matthew 12, verse 49, Jesus says, and stretching out his hands to his disciples, he said, here are my mother and my brothers. And so they had come and they're asking for where Jesus was, his family was. And he says, those disciples, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. And so if I'm a disciple, I'm going to do the will of Christ, the will of God, and therefore be a part of his family. And being a part of his family, I'm a part of the church. And then lastly, and probably most importantly, and a lot of times what people don't see in us about being a disciple is love. Jesus tells his disciples, they'll know you're my disciples by the way that you love, the way that you love one another. Listen to what Jesus says in John 13, 34 to 35. He says, a new commandment I give to you that you love one another. Well, how do we know how to love one another? Jesus says, just as I loved you by my example, by my pattern, by what I've modeled as your teacher, as you are my disciple, just as I've loved you, you also are to love one another. And how is that? Because we care for one another. We teach one another. We encourage one another. We pray with one another. That's how we demonstrate our love for one another. And he says this, by this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. And I think a lot of people see that today. I know they make up another excuse when they say, I don't go to church because of the hypocrites. And again, my response is, neither do I. I go for Christ. But this, he says, you're my disciples when, and a lot of people say, okay, I'm not going to church because of the hypocrites. Because why? Because they're not showing the love of Christ. That gives us no excuse, though. We want to be that example in this light unto the world and glorify Christ, as Christ told us to love our enemies. And Christ loved us while we were yet his enemies. We follow that example. I hope this morning as we think about this, am I a Christian? Well, am I a Christian? That means I'm a disciple and a follower of Christ. If I'm a follower of Christ, I'm going to abide and continue in his word. I'm going to have already been baptized. I'm going to want to observe all that Christ has commanded, and I'm going to love others. But the reason that so many people don't do it is they think it is so costly. But Jesus says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If you'd simply follow Christ, you'll find that the burdens and the hardships in this world, well, you've got one who is with you, Christ. You've got God who's with you to help you to endure them. And they say, being a disciple of Christ, it just seems so costly. And they say, it costs so much. And so they make excuses, just as we've read before in the parable. Now, in Luke chapter 14, when Jesus tells that parable, he also goes on and he says, listen, you who are going to be disciples, you've got to count the cost. He says, what man who's going to build a tower doesn't count it first? Or when he starts building the tower, he can't finish it? Or what king who goes out to lead an army does not first look at how many men he has versus who he's going to oppose and not count the number and get ready and prepared? And so I encourage you this morning, do what Jesus said. Become his disciple and count the cost. And give your life to Christ, because it's worth it. This life right now is only temporary. Our life is but a vapor. When we die, and in the end, on the last day, when Christ comes back, we will rise from the dead. We will go into eternal life, live in that heavenly country that God has blessed us. That's eternity, and it's worth it all to give this life right now for Christ, because he loved us so much, he rose from the dead to give us eternal life. It's worth it. And here we see that passage in Luke 14 before we finish this morning. I want you to listen to this. Christ said, whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. You've got to give it all. You've got to take up the cross to be a disciple of Christ. He says, for which of you desiring to build a tower does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and he is not able to finish it, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. You ever seen an office building halfway completed? I have. You ever seen a tower halfway completed? I've seen a clock tower that looks like it's halfway finished. It looked like they just ran out of money and stopped. What a shame on us if we're not willing to daily take up our cross to give our life to Jesus. And I hope that you will do that this morning if you haven't decided to do it. Once you continue, what else Christ said here? He says, or what king going out to encounter another king in war will not sit down first and deliberate whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? And if not, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. Notice that last one. Any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. There is no excuse that holds up. We've got to renounce it all to follow Christ. We've got to take up the cross every day. I encourage you this morning, take up the cross. Be a disciple of Christ. Let him be your teacher. Demonstrate the love of Christ in your life. Abide in his word and follow him continually. And then you can really say, I'm a Christian because I really am a disciple of Christ. This morning, becoming a disciple of Christ means that you give your life to save it. And Jesus says in Luke 9, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. This morning, you can become a Christian, you can become a disciple by confessing faith, saying, I believe Jesus is Lord, and I believe he rose from the dead. And believing that, you can repent of your sins, be baptized in the waters of baptism, have all your sins washed away, according to Colossians 2, 12 and 13, and rise up in the newness of life. I hope that you'll do that. Then you become a disciple of Christ. This morning, you need to recommit yourself. You need prayers. Let us pray with you. You need to be baptized and become a Christian. Let's do that. Let's study. Let's go to God's word. Whatever your needs are this morning, if you're struggling, you need prayers, we encourage you to come right now while we stand, while we sing. Please come.